searching for a place to stay, thousand different voices. and shake the boat is the call we've heard. It beats our hearts away. And shake the boat is the waterfall of the truth we now embrace. And shake the God, so full of goodness and truth.
you so much for your light in our dark worlds and for shining it on us and for keeping us and protecting us and loving us the way that you do. And I just pray today that our focus and our eyes and our hearts would be on your light instead of the darkness around us. And I thank you for that. Amen. All right, guys. You sound awesome. Turn to somebody around you. Tell them howdy. Give them a high five and you can have a seat. Who had a good Thanksgiving? Yeah? I don't believe you. Who had a good Thanksgiving? Yeah. Who ate too much turkey? Me too. And then I slept for hours. And it was awesome. So thanks to everybody in this room, all of us here at Crossroads and a bunch of other churches around the city. 90,000 other people had really great Thanksgiving dinners. And it's really amazing, and we're gonna watch a video about it, so check it out.
Area churches to unite under the umbrella of serving others.
Tri-State churches came together this morning to gather donations for families in need. A group of about 100 churches, they call themselves the Church of Cincinnati. And I can't let go. I'm killing every
second till it sees my soul. Volunteers unloaded, sorted, packed, and reloaded 11,000 boxes stuffed with all the holiday fixing. Shut it down.
Through and brought boxes, and the energy is just absolutely amazing and just kicks off the Thanksgiving season the right way.
As you can tell by the horns, we have a lot of excited volunteer givers.
A collaboration of 100 churches united as the Church of Cincinnati, feeding over 90,000 people.
Thanksgiving food drive, 90,000 tryptophan and red wine-induced food comas all over the tri-state area. Isn't that awesome? Way to go, Cincinnati. Hey, my name's Don. I'm in charge of the India work around here. I'm here to talk to you about what the next few weeks will look like around Crossroads. You ready? Yeah. Buckle up. Here we go. There's this show called Awaited. There's a joke you've not heard before from Main Stage. There's a show. It's kind of a big deal. There's 275 cast members and 29 shows. It's pretty good. We sold like 80,000 tickets on the internet over like 15 seconds. And not only we didn't just break the internet, we beat it up and took its lunch money. And then after that, the other 20,000 tickets sold, so the tickets are gone. They're gone like Frank Sinatra, they're gone. And what that means, you know, since Awaited is a place that we get to take our friends to sort of focus on the Christmas message, what that means is if you took a big block of tickets for your friends, and now you've discovered that your friends have all gone to Aruba without you, what we would like is for you to return those tickets, which you can do at crossroads.net/returntickets. So that way, those of us who have better friends than you can get those tickets and bring our friends along with you. So that's a big deal. Please do that. Want to also mention to you that we have the Crossroads Kids Club Advent Experience. I'm a parent. If you're a parent, you know that for your kids, Christmas is really a time to celebrate candy, Frosty the Snowman, and toy sharks with laser beams and stuff like that. But if you want to get your kids focused on the star of the Awaited show, 6-pound, 8-ounce baby love Jesus, the way that you do that is through the Advent Experience, which is online. You can count down the days to Christmas with videos and games and surprises that really helps to refocus your family. And another way that you can also help focus yourselves on the Christmas holiday And the real meaning of Christmas, which is hope and light breaking into darkness, and that's what Chuck's going to be talking about today. A really good way to do that is through angel tree. You saw the Christmas trees out in the auditorium. Those are covered with tags, and those tags represent the Christmas wish of a child whose parent is incarcerated, who's asked for a toy. And so what we do, and we've been doing this for about 14 years, is we go out and we buy that toy, and we wrap that toy, having filled out our little angel tree tag. We bring it back next weekend, or by no later than the 14th, and then that toy is actually given to the kid in the name of their parents. So get a tag, sign up, do it, bring the toy back. If you don't bring the toy back, a kid will go without a present for Christmas, and Brian Tome will come to your house and tell you that you're going to hell. So please do that. And right now, it's a chance for us to be generous. So if you're new here, if you've heard this story before, if you're not, if you're here for the first time or the second time, put your wallet away. We're really not interested in your money. You need some time to figure out whether you trust us or not. But if you've been around for longer than that, and you are part of the we that is Crossroads, this is a chance for you to have some courage to be generous, to share with other people from what you have for other people who may not have that. And so while we get ready to pass around these disc bag things, we're going to say a prayer together. You guys ready? You going to join me in this? Yeah? Okay. Here we go. God, in the busyness of this season, help me to be present, thankful, and open-handed. There is nothing I have that you have not given me. Help me to fill up on the blessings of my life and pour them out for those around me in generosity. All I have and am belongs to you, a lavish and loving Father. Thank you for all you give us. In your name and in your example, we pray, Jesus. Amen. Oh, that feels good. So speaking of feeling good around Christmas time, what I think of, what gets me in the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, is, you know, watching movies like It's a Wonderful Life, or A Christmas Story, or A Christmas Carol, but especially around the holiday season, what really gets my family focused on the spirit of Christmas is reality television on the Sci-Fi Channel, featuring grown adults in body suits in the darkness getting the poo scared out of them. So let's watch that together, shall we?
Hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, and we are talking today about this contrast of light and darkness. And I don't know if I'm the only person who has experienced this. Have you ever been disoriented by the dark? I think we all have. In fact, that's one of the reasons I think we laugh at things like that is because, quite frankly, we wouldn't do much different if we were in that situation, right? Who's honest, willing to say, like, yeah, that would be me. That would be me. And so I had an experience in the darkness that kind of brought this to bear for me. I had it with my wife, actually. And I would say, you know, over the course of our marriage, this probably ranks as, in her mind, one of the most memorable experiences we had as a couple. And as you know, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's not a good thing. So you can decide for yourself. We decided, this was 7 years ago, before we started having kids, that we were going to go away and have a long weekend. You know, we were kind of in that season of starting a family. We're like, this might be our last kind of hurrah vacation without kids, so let's just do that. So we went down to Orlando, Florida. We went to Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure. It was really, really fun. And it was October. And what that meant was they were in the midst of their Fright Fest. So the entire park had basically turned into a haunted house. And so we go, and there were 7 haunted houses to go through, but we only made it through 2 of them. The reason we only made it through 2 of them is because one of us, who will remain nameless for now, punked out after the second one and wouldn't go on any further. So we go into the second haunted house, and we go around a corner. And, you know, I mean, when you're in a haunted house, you go around a corner, what's going to happen? Yeah, things jump out at you. Something's going to jump out at you. So we go around the corner, and things jump out. And I scream like a schoolgirl. I really do. I scream like a schoolgirl. But to make it worse, and I think this is why this is very memorable in my wife's mind, not only did I scream in that moment, but I did one of these, and I put my wife in between whatever it was that was scaring me in the haunted house. And gosh, you know, 7 years, 5 years later, she never lets me forget that for some reason. So I know what it's like to be disoriented by the dark. And this series we're in is Awaited Behind the Scenes. And every week, we're looking at characters in the Awaited show, in the story, because we want you to have context for what you're experiencing, and we want you to be able to give that context, hopefully, to friends and family that you're inviting to the show, many, hopefully, who will see it for the very first time. And so Brian, last week, talked about the shepherds and how the shepherds represented God including people in this story of grace and of redemption that others would see as outcasts, and how that's good news for all of us. And this week, the character that I'm talking about is a little bit more abstract because I'm talking about the character of light. Light and darkness really is this tension all throughout the Christmas story and all throughout the awaited show. In fact, we've got snippets of videos that just give a little behind-the-scenes context into certain scenes of the show, like this one. Take a look at this.
Today we are setting our garden piece, playing with some changes and some new ideas, and so it's our first dance rehearsal. We always start with story, so what are we trying to get people to understand, feel, what journey do we want to take them on? To really understand the need for a savior, which is really what the Christmas story is about. We just wanted people to really grasp and feel how God created the world and why it was such a loss when Adam and Eve made those choices and how he intended creation to be.
I love the garden. I think it's exciting and unexpected in a Christmas story. We have water dancers, we have creature dancers, we have trees and flowers, and then Adam and Eve, and they all have separate tracks, which is their special, unique choreography they do, and everybody's kind of intersects, and nobody's doing the same thing till the very end. We all dance in unison, and it's like worship, and it's also the way that shows how everything was supposed to work together.
It's very celebratory. That's all you get. You got to come to the show to see the rest. I really like that scene because I think it adds tension to the Christmas story that's needed. You see, the Christmas story is only good news if you realize that something had been stolen from us as mankind. That there was a darkness that we were living in that was not what God originally intended. And that scene does a really good job of introducing that tension into the story. And in a very real way, I think we need to be reminded of that. I think we need to be reminded of the tension so that we can live in the hope of the light of Christmas. Because the story of Christmas really is the story of light overcoming the darkness. That's really the heart of the story. And here's why that's important. Because this Christmas, across a room this large, there are many people in here, and we're in all different places in our lives right now. And I know that there are real things in our lives that look like darkness right now. If we were to sit down and have coffee, that I would hear about things, and I would say, man, that's a challenging situation. And in this holiday season, in this Christmas season, you and I really have a choice. The choice is this. We can choose to focus on the presence of the darkness, or we can choose to focus on the promise of the light and what Jesus accomplished by coming to earth and taking on flesh and what that meant for our future. I was talking to a friend of mine about this who I was inviting to the show, and I said, man, I want you to come and see this because Christmas is a good news story. It's a good news story. I want my friend to see the show. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not because I don't have any tickets to the show right now. I mean, that thing shut down, so there's no special allotments for the pastor around here. So literally, at opening night, I'm going to be outside with this sign right here. So if you have tickets, I need tickets. I need your tickets. Seriously, if you got a lot of tickets and friends aren't able to come, family's not able to come, please return them. I would like to come see Awaited this year, but we'll see if that'll happen. But Christmas is a real tension story. It's a good news story only if we understand that. And so what I pray today happens is that we see the light of a Christmas story with fresh eyes. God, I am praying that in the time that we have left with each other today, that you would continue to show yourself as light in the context of the Christmas story, and even more relevant than that, in our lives. That this story isn't just events that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but that what happened then has very real meaning in our lives today. I can't communicate that well, but you can through your Spirit. So I pray that you would use my words to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of us are facing darkness this holiday season. Some of us are facing the darkness of loneliness. And maybe you're single, and you thought by now you'd be married. And the holidays really are an extra sensitive time as people are planning to get engaged, or you're hearing rumors and stories of friends getting engaged, and it's just a tough thing. Others of us are facing the darkness of loneliness because perhaps this is the first Christmas where you're separated from a spouse, or divorced, Or maybe you lost someone close to you this year, and there's real grief there. There's real pain in that separation, in that distance. Others of us, maybe we're just in the darkness of worry and fear because of a job loss. And, you know, this is a time of the year when it's seemingly there's a higher focus on buying things and being able to give gifts, and that just might not be in the cards for your family this year, and you're looking at a very different Christmas, and there could be some darkness on that. I think a lot of us in here are just focused on the darkness of discouragement. And maybe you're looking at it and saying, gosh, 2014 is coming gone. There's some things I thought would be different in my life by this point. And I'm still in the same places that I've been. And I just understand that in a group this size, there's real darkness that we face. And it's not just the darkness in our personal lives, but there's also darkness in the world around us. You know, this week I have really been challenged and saddened by the events coming out of Ferguson, Missouri. And I'll just tell you, as an African American man, there's pain. There's real pain that I have as I look at how that's playing out. And you know what? In a group this size, I'm sure we come on different sides of the issue. We may land in different places. But can we all agree that there's darkness there and we would want to see light brought to that darkness? We can agree on that. So there was a post that went viral this week about Ferguson, and it was written by Benjamin Watson. He's a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. And we actually put the whole post on the Crossroads Facebook page because I think he expresses honest sentiment, honest frustration about what happened there, but also an incredible hope in the light of Jesus and what it could mean for that situation in our country. This is part of what he says. I'm encouraged because God has provided a solution for sin through his son Jesus, and with it, a transformed heart and mind, one that's capable of looking past the outward and seeing what's truly important in every human being. The cure for the Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, and Eric Garner tragedies is not education or exposure. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So finally, I'm encouraged because the gospel gives mankind hope. He's choosing to focus on the promise of the light. And I respect that. I appreciate that. And I encourage you to read the whole thing. And what I want you to know today is if you are really facing the darkness and you're dealing with it and it's disorienting, I want you to know the Christmas story, the real Christmas story, is good news because it's the story of light overcoming the darkness. And we see this in the Bible, and I wanted to show it to you in the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, just some perspective. The Bible has recurring themes. And two of the recurring themes that we see in the Bible are the theme of the Word of God and the theme of the light of God. And we see this in even the very first words of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, the creation account starts this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So in this very first account, the first words of the Bible, we see this theme of the Word of God. We see a God so powerful that he speaks a world into existence. He speaks light into existence. He speaks a sun into existence. He speaks the moon into existence. He speaks all of creation into existence. And then as the Old Testament story goes on, God forms a special relationship with the nation of Israel, another character in the awaited show represented by the choir. And what we see is God's primary way of relating to them is through the Word. It's through the Torah, the law that he gives to Moses on Mount Sinai. And in the New Testament, we read words that say all Scripture, all the Bible is God-breathed. So this theme of the Word of God flows throughout the story. But we also see this through line of this theme of the light of God. And God himself is defined as or connected to light over and over again in the Scriptures. Here's a couple places where we see this. Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Another place that we see this is in Psalm 104, which says this. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. That God is literally clothed in light. Another place we see this in the New Testament, this is a great verse for Thanksgiving, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. A friend of mine read a book recently called The Elegant Universe by Brian Greene. And this is a guy who, to my knowledge, is not a Christ follower, but he's pointing out new insights and understanding that we're learning about how the universe works. And he has a section in there where he talks about light. And my friend was kind of debriefing me on that. And I said, man, send that to me in an email. I want to share that this weekend. So here's a piece of what my friend is summarizing from this book. Light, because it is always moving through space at light speed, is therefore not moving through time. It is literally outside of time. It also does not age or decay. It does not change, just like we saw and read in James 1:17. And as an object approaches the speed of light, its mass increases to infinity, and God often describes himself in infinite terms. I think it's really fascinating that thousands of years before we had the apparatus and the tools to know these things about the nature and the character of light, in the Bible, we see God describing himself in terms that are very consistent with what we're learning about light. That God does not age or decay. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. That he exists outside of time. Therefore, he could speak into time, the creation of a world. Really fascinating to me how these things are lining up. And I think it's because God is communicating something about his character through light. There's even this prophecy in the Bible that shows up 700 years before the first Christmas story ever happens. It's in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, and it says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has light shone. For unto us a child is born." Wait a second, I mean, we can all get with that first part, right? You know, people who are walking in darkness are getting a light. That's awesome. But through a child? And this prophecy is 700 years old when Jesus comes on the scene. Here's the thing. Every religion claims to have words of life. Every religion does. Every religion has some kind of holy book or some prophet that they would say has the words of life. And every religion claims to be light. Every religion claims to have an illuminating way to see truth in the world. But only in the story of the Bible, only in the person of Jesus, does the word become flesh. And the light isn't just a force, but it comes in the form of a person who is the very representation of God. And so this theme of the Word of God, and specifically for today, the light of God, is at the epicenter of the Christmas story. And that's why one of the writers of the Christmas story, John, tells it this way. "In the beginning was the Word." And you'll notice that Word is a proper noun. "And the Word was with God," meaning this Word was in community, in relationship, in fellowship with God from before the beginning of time. "And the Word was God." So not only was the Word in fellowship with God, but the Word was, in essence, God. He was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. He was the Word that said, "Let there be light," and caused light to be. "And without him was not anything made that was made." And then a few verses later, John says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." There's a paraphrase of the Bible. I love how he puts it. He says, "The Word put on skin and moved into Norwood." I mean, moved into the neighborhood. Love that. I love that. And John says this: "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that's the real Christmas story. How many people are already tuned in to Christmas carols and you've been listening to Christmas music already? Anybody? Yeah, a couple people. All right, cool, cool. You're the godly people. I love Christmas stories. I love Christmas carols. And the more that I spend time listening to them and thinking about ones that I learned, you know, even as a kid, I realize so many Christmas carols totally miss the point and they miss the reality of the darkness that Jesus actually stepped into in this world. I'll give you a couple examples. How about this one? "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by." We like that song. That's a good song. Yeah. You know? Thank you very much. Make sure you tip your servers on the way out. They're doing an excellent job. Or how about this one? "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." I mean, those are good Christmas songs. Good Christmas songs. Or one of my favorite, "Chestnuts roasting on an open fire," which has nothing to do with the Christmas story, but I just like that song. So, but these Christmas carols totally miss the point, because the truth is, Jesus was born into a time of incredible violence and oppression. It was not a still, quiet night in the little town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. That's not the real Christmas story. In fact, Jesus was heralded as the King of the Jews through the prophecies of Christmas. But there was a man in particularly, he had a place in Bethlehem, and he was a self-proclaimed king of the Jews, and he was totally in the throne preservation at any cost. His name was King Herod the Great. And Jesus was born in the time of this tyrant. He was an absolute tyrant. This is a man who killed a wife and killed three sons on separate occasions because they stood between him and his throne. And you thought you had jacked up family dynamics at Thanksgiving. I mean, this is bad. This is bad. And he was in the throne preservation at any cost. In fact, right over, this actually cast a shadow on the little town of Bethlehem. He had built a fortress called the Herodian. And this is just the top of the fortress. But at this time, this was the third largest fortress of its size in the world. And the whole thing, you can go online and see pictures of it, of the ruins. It looks like a volcano. It was massive. And this massive fortress that represented the violence and oppression of the day cast its shadow onto the little town of Bethlehem. In many ways, it would be like Luke Skywalker being born in the shadow of the Death Star. That's right. So we need to just blow up this idea of a snowy, silent, peaceful night, because when Jesus was born, he was born into real darkness. And what does the Bible say about this? The Bible says when God comes against the darkness, he does not come and go and away from the darkness. He doesn't avoid the darkness. He comes right in the midst of the darkness. That's why John would say, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, even in the shadow of violence and oppression, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so if you are really facing darkness this Christmas, you need to know that the Christmas story is about light overcoming darkness, and you can choose to focus on the presence of the darkness. But the hope of Christmas is that there is a real promise of the light. This contrast of light breaking into darkness, it's been with me for a while. At the end of October, beginning of November, I went to Kolkata, India, for the first time, and I spent some time with our partners over there and spent some time experiencing the work that we're doing in India. And I just walked away, blown away at how clearly I saw the light of Jesus breaking through the darkness there. I mean, in a place where there's just palpable, real darkness, where there are people being sold into slavery, I saw the light of Jesus breaking through all over the place. In fact, in one of the places where it's perhaps the darkest, I was so inspired that I just took out my phone and I shot a video, and I want to share it with you.
You know, the gospel really is about light coming against darkness. We're not even in the middle of Sanagashi Red Light District, but from where we are, you can start to see women who have to sell their bodies or think they have to sell their bodies to support themselves and their families. They've been trafficked.
Hey, by the way,
there are situations that they don't need to be in. And I tell you what, everywhere the gospel is preached, it is light coming against the darkness. Even here, and it's happening not just through word, but through deed. We just visited Freeset and got to see the incredible work being done by Carrie Hilton. 150 women having a total different life because of the work that they are now given, that gives them dignity. Praise God. May the gospel continue to spread light against the darkness, not just here in Calcutta, but throughout the world in our own lives.
Say hello again to my friend Don Jarrett, leads our India efforts. And you could see in the background, there were some guys that looked like they were about to beat me up. And so I showed that video to Don, and you said that's probably about...
They were about to beat you up,
they were about
up, yeah.
to beat me up, so
gonna,
that's probably not the smartest thing.
No, I they were gonna take your cell phone away from me. They don't like video in that area
yeah.
of town.
Yeah, I mean, I was just so inspired in the moment because, I mean, again, there's just a very present, palpable experience of oppression that you know is there, and violence even. And in the midst of that, I just was so inspired by the light of Christ. One of the experiences I had, I've told Don this story, is I got to spend a day with the girls of the Mahima home, which is one of the homes that we have as a team helped to build at Crossroads. And this is a home where girls are experiencing aftercare and healing and recovery after having been rescued from forced prostitution. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, for you to get to go and see that, I mean, you get up close and personal to seeing a real transformation of the lives of girls that have been through really horrendous circumstances. And for them, without rescue and restoration, it really is basically impossible for them to believe that there's a God or that he could be good, because they're just in so much pain. But when you go on a trip, like you did, you get to see this transformation, and it really is absolutely amazing. These girls are so small. They got a lot of heart, though. I understand you played some full contact kickball while
we
you were
did,
there.
Man. We taught them to play kickball, and they didn't take any time getting very competitive and wanting to go after it. And
absolutely.
So it was awesome. And we danced with them. We taught them to do the Cupid shuffle and the cha-cha slide. was great. They taught us some of their Bollywood dances, and they told me that our group was the best dancers they've ever seen come to Kolkata.
Which,
I can't blame them. I mean, you know. But it was awesome just to see the light in these girls, see them being girls. This is what their lives should be. Yeah. And they're in an environment now where people love them and value them and care for them. And there's real healing taking place. The next day, we went back to the home, and we were kind of debriefing the day and small talking. And through an interpreter, they began to ask us, well, what are some of your favorite Bible stories? And so we started talking about, you know, David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den, and you know, when Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water, just whatever was coming to mind. And then we turned the question around and said, well, what about you? What are some of your favorite? And there's one girl, she's like in the front, she's real confident, and she says, I'd like to tell you mine. She said, my favorite is the story when Jesus finds the woman caught in adultery and tells her she's no longer condemned. I just start crying. I'm just like, that's a good one. That. And then other girls were like, that's my favorite too. And I just realized in that moment, if any organization rescues these girls out of forced prostitution, praise God, that is the light coming for them. But there is a unique thing happening because the people who are rescuing them, the people who are helping to bring wholeness and healing to them, understand the God of the Bible. Because only in the Bible do you find a God in Jesus who says to people who others would say are damaged goods, you're not damaged goods, I will redeem your life. So not only is there a physical freedom these girls are experiencing, but they're spiritually being freed as well. And I'm telling you what, that's the light breaking through darkness. And it's happening. It's happening in India all the time. So I'm thankful that you challenged me, invited me, called me to go over there and see that for myself. It was such a life-changing experience for me. And one of the other reasons I wanted Don to come and talk about this a little bit today is because we're doing Go Trips in 2015. And at this point, not a lot of men have signed up for those trips. And so guys, I am issuing a challenge and a call to you in the same way that I received it from Don. And so I want you to just talk about that.
Yeah, if you have an XY chromosome, you need to sign up for some trips.
Yes.
We have trips to rebuild New Orleans. We have trips to fight AIDS in South Africa. And we have trips to India. And, you know, a guy mentioned to me after the first service, it seems kind of weird to be a guy going over to meet, you know, survivors of horrific abuse that really came at the hands of men. So isn't that sort of weird? And I guess that dynamic can feel that way, but you know, when a husband and wife go on one of these trips, when a man who is respectful of women, who understands that they are equally precious to God, that is a real transformative experience. It's a real cross-cultural experience that that the girls that we care about don't really get any other way. So I would tell you, actually, no. If you have an XY chromosome, we're interested in you signing up and going on these trips.
Absolutely, absolutely. How can they do that? Talk about
Go out to the info center is the easiest way. If you go to the info center, they have information about all the upcoming trips, and you can sign up, or you can go onto crossroads.net and look up the different areas where we go, and they'll tell you how to sign up and what's coming up.
Yeah. And Don, you're leading by example in this one, because not only are you going over as a man, actually leaving today to go over to India again, but you're taking your family. Don's going to be moving his family back to India in February, and he's a part of our team, and we wanted our team to know that. We're sending our best to India, and I'm excited about what the Jareds are going to do as they bring light, continue to bring light in India. So talk a little bit more about, you know, the importance of you being over there and what you're seeing and what's causing you to go.
Thanks for saying sending your best. I wanted to look and see if someone else is actually getting to go.
Well, it's you and the family. Okay. If it was just you, I'd probably say second best.
Great, but, thank you. That's more like it. Abuse, it's our love language here at Crossroads. You know, getting something accomplished in India is about 90% relationship and about 10% sort of systems. So having relationships and developing those with the partners who actually do the work on the ground is really important. We've had Dave and Cheryl Miyamasu in Mumbai for the last 2 years. They're coming home in February. Hope you give them a warm welcome when they get back.
They were not like Crossroads staff people. These are Crossroads team folks. They had other jobs, but they kind of stepped into this role.
They stepped into the role and have done a fantastic job, really unbelievable job.
They
and
really
so
have.
We're sort of trading places and getting a front row seat to watch God work, which is, for us, a really exciting thing.
Yeah, yeah. And Don's family was at the previous service today. And, man, I tell you what, I'm excited for them. And I also know that it's a big deal to move your family on the other side of the world. And they're going to be engaging on behalf of Crossroads and with other people from Crossroads. We'll still be doing trips. And we just want to bless them as they leave. We just see this rhythm in the Bible that when your teammates are heading out that we want to just come alongside them and say, hey, we're with you, we love you, and we're praying God's blessing over what you're doing. So I'm going to do that right now, and if you're part of the team and want to just be a part of this moment with me in prayer, or if you're just a person here and you say, man, I can get behind that, let's just pray for Don and his family together. So God, thank you for this man. I thank you for the many ways that he has received your light and has shined that light for others to see, not only in helping us understand the challenges in India, but also the hope there, but God, just modeling that. And now as he prepares to move his family back to India, we just want to pray for every grace and every blessing, every kind of favor to be with them and for them, God. Finding the right place, which I know he's heading over to do right after today's services. And God, also just his family making the transition over there with friendships and school, all of those things. We just want your grace and favor on them and, quite frankly, on the work that you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See you there.
Thank you, brother.
All right. You know, and spending time with Don and others who are engaged in work in places where it's easy to focus on the presence of the darkness, they'll tell you that choice is real. It's there every day. You either focus on the presence of the darkness or you can see the promise of the light. And you know what? That's the same challenge that all of us face. It's the reality of our lives. And certainly for many of us, it's the reality of this time of year, this Christmas season. But I want to give you a spoiler alert. I don't know if you've seen a weighted show before. I want to give you a spoiler alert. There is a real tension between light and darkness. But friends, light wins in the show. Light wins. Because light wins in the real story. Light wins. Hey, I tell you what. Light is winning in India. God is moving over there. Light is winning in South Africa. Light is winning in our city. Light is winning every time there's a marriage reconciled around here. And I get to see that all the time. Light is winning every time somebody breaks the chain of an addiction and begins to walk in freedom. And I get to hear those stories all the time. So I want you to know, in a very real way, light is winning. Light is 90,000 meals, 100 churches working. You want to tell me light isn't winning in our city? Come on. Come on. Light is winning. Light is winning. And I want you to know it's because there is no darkness so dark that it could actually overcome the light of Christ. Jesus puts it this way. He says, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came to bring the light of life to the real darkness in your life and in my life. He's not avoiding it. He actually wants to step into your life and he wants to absorb it whole. He wants to absorb the darkness and so overwhelm it by the light of life that he brings that the darkness could never, will never overcome it. So you have to choose. Will you focus on the presence of the darkness or will you focus on the promise of light? One other translation of John 1:5 puts it this way. The light still shines in the darkness and the darkness has never put it out. The darkness will never put it out because the darkness can never put it out. And I want you to experience this light. I want you to experience it in a very personal way. And so we are going to do a science experiment together right now. So guys, go ahead and kill all the lights in here. This is not the time to get up and go to the bathroom. It's disorienting, isn't it? I mean, none of us would argue the presence of darkness in this room right now. It's very palpable in a way that it wasn't just a few seconds ago. This room wasn't bright, bright, bright a few seconds ago, but now it is definitely dark. And what's interesting is if you are focusing on the darkness right now, you'll know it by a couple things. My voice has been amplified the whole time we've been together, but right now, maybe the words sound even louder. And part of that is because you're wondering what's going to happen next. Maybe you can feel your heart palpitating just a little bit more because it's just an uncertain thing right now. Maybe you're noticing feeling, your sense of feeling is heightened right now as you just feel maybe the temperature in the room in the way that you didn't before. These are the kind of things that happen if we focus on the darkness in this space right now. And yet, in this room, there is still light. There's the light of exit signs. There's the light of clocks. There's the light at the sound table. I call them the runway lights and the aisles. There's still light in this room. If you choose to focus on the light, you can see it. You can see it. And the same thing exists for us in our very real worlds, in our very real lives, and specifically as it relates to how we relate to this story of light coming into the world at Christmas. We can choose to focus on the darkness, or we can focus on the promise of the light. So when John tells us the Christmas story, the story of light breaking through, he says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the light became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, his radiance, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Light came into the world as a baby. Born in a nowhere cave, laying in a nowhere manger, in a nowhere town, light was born. Light was born under the shadow of violence and oppression that was Herod's reign. And light had to learn how to walk. And light had to learn how to talk. And light had to learn how to eat solid food. And light over time learned to be a carpenter, learned a trade. And light became a man. And one day, light went down to a river where there was a man who had been baptizing people to prepare them for the sure coming of the light, named John the Baptist. And light steps into the water to be baptized by John. And light goes down into the water, and when light comes up, the very heavens open up, and there's a voice that's heard saying, "This light is my son, and with him I am well pleased." And light goes on to heal the sick. Light goes on to raise people from the dead. Light goes on to open the eyes of the blind. This light sets people free. And this light paints a picture of a God who is love. But light would be rejected. Light would be opposed. Eventually, light would be arrested and light would suffer. Light would be beaten all night long and light would be hung on a cross to die. And at that point, it surely looked like light had been snuffed out. And if that's where the story ends, then this Christmas thing is actually not a story of hope. It's actually a story of the opposite of hope. Because if even light was absorbed by the darkness, then there is no hope for any of us. Light looked like it was snuffed out on Friday night. Light looked like it was snuffed out on Saturday night. But Sunday morning, light physically and literally rose from the dead. Light beat death. The worst thing that darkness could throw at him. And if light could beat death, that meant that there was the sure, certain reality that light was coming into the world. Jesus gave us light by dealing with the best blow that darkness could give. He absorbed it. He absorbed not just the darkness, he absorbed your darkness. The darkness that plagues your life, Jesus absorbed it. He swallowed it whole. And now the light has come, and light is breaking out in this room. Light is breaking out in lives all over this room. Light is breaking out in our city. Light is breaking out right now. In fact, if you're in here and you have anything on your person that illuminates, a cell phone, anything like that, I want you to take it out and I want you to shine your light. I want you to shine your light in this room right now. And I want you to just notice this. I want you to notice the light. I want you to notice the presence of the light. There's a verse in the New Testament that says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You actually get to participate in and through this light by bringing light. This is one of the things that comes because light has overcome the world. And I have a question for you. Could we turn up the darkness so dark that it would drown out the lights in this room? You can't do it. It's a scientific impossibility. Why? Because light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has never, will never, can never overcome it. This is the story of Christmas. This is the story of Christmas. And so in a very real way, if you are dealing with the darkness of loneliness, I want you to know that light, Jesus comes and says, I comfort those who are lonely. I comfort those who are in need. If you're dealing with the darkness of fear, I want you to know that Jesus says, I am light and I can give courage to your fear because I am always with you. If you receive me and walk in my light, you will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Do you see it? I want you to see it. I want you to choose to focus on the promise of light, even in the midst of the presence of darkness, because the Jesus who was born in a manger is in fact the light of the world. To make whether we'll focus on the presence of the darkness or the promise of the light. And I tell you what, if you are really facing a dark time, if this is a difficult holiday season for you for any reason, the last thing I want you to do is try to muster up the emotions and feel hopeful. That's not the point. That's not the point. But I would encourage you to do this. I want you to believe this reality and truth is available for you, that the light has come for you, that Jesus has come for you. And so I'm asking you not to feel it, but to boldly step in faith toward the light. And believe the truth that even if right now it looks like darkness is surrounding you, that there is a sure light that has come into the world and the darkness will never overcome him. And you know what? If you're like me, you need help to take that bold step. And so as we close today, I just want us to take a song that we sung earlier and just to make it a prayer for all of us, because we want the light to fill us with the ability to step boldly in his direction. So let's just sing this together.
Fill me now, fill me now, Spirit come and fill.
By the light who gives life to all men. And may the filling of that light enable you to focus on the light and trust that it is coming in your life and that the darkness will never overcome it. Bless you guys. We'll see you next weekend for our last weekend in Oakley or at the Awaited Show.